plus days. Parshas told us. Vayetar Yitzchak laHashem lenofach ishto. Yitzchak davened to Hashem for his wife. Opposite his wife, but for his wife. Lahavin mizeh, no, lenofach would be towards his wife. Lahavin mizeh remeth laAvodas Hashem yitzborah. As always, Peliyowit says, for us to understand from here a remez, a hint to Avodas Hashem. What is it about this psukim that can teach us something about Avodas Hashem in the here and now? V'yesh lomar, shemeramez lanu al inyan hatfila b'derech klal u'b'derech prat. That this is teaching us about the inyan of tefillah, both in general and specifically. So maybe let's pass one of those for a moment. You can look out with Mark. Is that okay? Let's go this way. Did you have? Page Chos Beis. Try and pass mine a little bit. Now, last time we talked a little bit about the idea of davening for Golus Hashchina, and davening for the sake of the Shechina and for the Tzar Hashchina. This mimer is going to touch on that a little bit, but it's also going to take it a little bit further. The Hinek, Siv, it says, last week's parsha, Vayetze Yitzchak Lasuach Basada. Yitzchak went out to daven in the field, to speak in the field, but we know that means to daven mincha. Ein Sicha Ela Tfila. So from the verb Adivir Razal, the Chachamim say, Sicha refers to tefillah. Tehine yadua, it is known. Sheikr hatefillah b'derech klal hu tzorich gavoha. That's a concept we touched on last time. That the essence of davening is really for the sake of the Almighty, so to speak, for the sake of the One Above, for the Shechina itself. Lehispalel al golus ha-Shechina. To daven for the sake of the Shechina's exile. When we go into exile, the Shechina goes into exile. When we feel tsar, the Shechina feels tsar. The chol tsarasam lo tsar. Dan, you want to go on this way? Yeah. All right. No, as long as you're comfortable. The chol tsarasam lo tsar. So to mavur bisforim kedoshim, mahus inyan golus ha-Shechina. As the Sforim HaKadoshim talk about the essence of the matter of golus ha-Shechina. V'zehu vayetze Yitzchak lasuach. That's the pasuk there. Yitzchak went out to daven. U'lehispalel. Then it says basada, right? In the field. I'm scoring the pasuk first. Basada. And he teaches that bishvil sada. On account of, for the sake of sada. He's davening for the sake of sada. Hainu hashchina hakdosha. Hmm. Which is the Shechina. We've brought this down before, right? Takal tapufin kadishi. The field of holy apples. That's a Kabbalistic term. That field refers to takal tapufin kadishi, refers to the Shechina. So when it says, Vayetze Yitzchak Lasuach Basada, he was going out to daven bishvil sada, for the sake of sada, for the sake of the Shechina. That's the remez there. Josh.
The apples called the Makkah
Mikdash, mm-hmm. different things, but that's called it the Sada. Right. So this is, you can say, David, the Sada is what he called the Makkah Mikdash. Very good. Very nice connection. Avram called it Har, Yitzchak, Sada, Yaakov, Bayis. So here's Bas Sada, for the sake of the Shechina. The word Chakal, Chakal, Tafuch, in Kaddish, and Chakal means Sada, means field.
Is there a connection with
that? That's an interesting question, because they share those osios. Offhand, I'm not sure. That's an interesting question, though.
I saw a connection with Shaddai.
Yeah.
Shaka.
Yes?
No, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Concept of,
right.
Like in the Haggadah about Shaddai.
Right. I'm sure.
If you're going to say that, then you can say Shady. Where are you?
Don't know. don't know about those connections. Possible, very possible, I just don't know.
So when Yitzchak went in to the field to daven, he was davening for the sake of the Shekhinah.
Right.
Yet, in one sense, the Shekhinah wasn't absent from him.
Right.
Where it's a little bit different. So in our mincha now, forget, I'm not, I guess maybe in all of it, but I'm just to talk about mincha right now. Does this, did he put some kind of koach in that we have the ability, when we daven mincha now, to try to affect that?
Yeah, every one of our avos did that, really. Avraham Mishachas, Yitzchak Avinu with mincha, Yaakov with Marav, that. It's not only that they created the tefillah, but they put the koach in the tefillah, and that helps us to daven that tefillah. It's like they blazed the trail, you know, they made the path, and now that path is accessible for us.
So we can try to access, I don't know how to word this, the Shekhinah's return?
Well, I mean, we also would like to strive for this, you know, where we're davening Lema'an Hashem. And then our own requests, which are important, and we're certainly entitled to ask for them, but they're secondary to davening for what's called the Tzar HaShchina. And our requests become fulfilled in that way. The more we daven for the Galus HaShchina, the more Hashem then pays attention to our own personal requests. And that way, tefillah doesn't become a self-centered thing. We're always having our mind on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'zehu v'yetzche, I said that already. Haynu hashchina hakidosha, asher ne'amar aleha begolus tzion sada techarash. As it is said in the Navi, tzion will be a plowed over field. That's referring to the makom of the Beis HaMikdash. You see from there, tzion also connected to a field. Tzion hu hashchina hakidosha kiyodon. Tzion refers to the Holy Shechina. Hazeh hoya ikur hatfila shal Yitzchak Avinu. This is what Yitzchak Avinu's ikur tefillah was about, the essence of his davening. V'al'yidei zeh po'al, and he, through that, he made it happen. The next phrase of the pasuk, lifnos erev, which the pshat is, means with the coming of night, toward the coming of nighttime. As in the afternoon, nighttime is coming. It's not here yet, but it's coming. Shehimtik b'tfilasa. When it uses this lashon lifnos erev, Peliyomit says this is a remez that Yaakov was memate, he mitigated, he sweetened through his davening. Shepone kol ha'erbuvia v'hamakatrigin, that he cleared away all confusion and things that cause difficulty in tefillah. So lifnos means to clear away. And Erev is Lashon Irbuvia, those things which are confusing us, which attack us when we daven. And he was Poel to clear away those confusing moments in tefillah. You can imagine how hard it would be if he didn't do this.
I was going to say,
even with Yitzchak Avinu's tefillah, that we're still undergoing all this difficulty in tefillah. V'chein himshich ha'klolus Yisrael, that's what was your point, Bruce. And Taka, he brought this forth for all of Klal Yisrael to be able to achieve this, to clear away that confusion by davening for the sake of Galus HaShchina. It's really focusing on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that takes away, kind of, this burns away, you might say, extraneous thoughts.
That's the nature of a field that doesn't have any repair, doesn't have any
right,
or trees.
Right, that Machshav is brought down too. Kimasa Ava Simon Labanim. We know this Klal and the Ramban and others, that Masa Avos, whatever happened to the Avos, is a simon, and something like that will happen to their descendants. Avram Avinu went down to Mitzrayim, we went down to Mitzrayim, etc. Shayihya tefilasa malkot tzora shelo tava, that our tefillah, for any bad thing, that it shall not happen, we don't want anything bad to happen, rak al tsa'ar hamagia l'shchina, but really, we don't want any tsar to happen to the Shechina, asher b'chol tsarasam lo tsar, because if we are in pain, the Shechina is in pain. That's axiomatic. B'nai Yisrael is suffering, the Shekhinah is suffering. Right? You can't separate those things. And that's what we're davening for. The Shekhinah omeres kalani miroshi. Did someone look that up from last week? I forgot to look it up. Mary Cole, guys? Yes, Josh, what did you get it? Did you look it up? The context?
Oh.
Yeah, but I don't remember the context of what the Gemara quoted.
The Gemara was talking about that place in Sanhedrin not letting a man hang overnight.
Mm-hmm. But in fact, okay. Don't yes? On this pasuk.
I don't know which pasuk it is.
The Mishnah was rushing on the pasuk that you shouldn't leave the hanging there hanging over
right,
time.
Right.
But I think it was.
Okay. So anyway, it has to do with the Tsar Hashkina. It's in Sanhedrin. What was it? Membeis? Membo? And by doing this, by being davening for the Tsar Hashkina, then one can sweeten and dismiss, move away from oneself all accusatory things and confusing thoughts. So this is the last statement of this idea. The Yitzchak daven la Hashem, lenochach ishto, for the sake of his wife. Again, ishto refers to the Shekhinah, because it's called Isha Yiras Hashem, refers to the Shekhinah HaKadosha. When we say a God-fearing woman, that's a remnant to the Shekhinah HaKadosha, and that's also part of what we're thinking about when we say Isha's Chayel. Isha Yiras Hashem, Yitzchak Havel is referring to the Shekhinah. Nope. Right, so that's that concept. Zehu b'derech klav.
Nochach. Nope. Is it
nochach means toward?
Is it opposite? Or is it?
Well, I was saying opposite at the beginning, but that's really keneged. Nochach means facing something.
Facing.
Well, yeah. Didn't they daven an opposite?
Yes. Yes, they did. That's what Rashi says there. Rivka was here, and Yitzchak was there. There. That's why I'm kind of leaning to the word opposite his wife, but I don't want it to give it that oppositional, you know, quality.
You mean like facing opposite?
Yeah, like one's here and one's there. Right. I'm trying, searching for the right
word. Right, okay.
Okay, now that's Tefillah B'Derech Klal, and now he's going to take this B'Derech Prat. B'Derech Prat, Merames HaKosuk. The Pasuk is hinting to us, Shibsorech Kol Echad Ve'Echad Lihishalel Agolus HaNeshama Shalom. Now this is more personal. That each person must also daven for the exile of his neshama, of his soul. Hi ishto, that's considered our wife. Our neshama is our companion in everything that we do. So it's like our wife, our isha. Kishmaso is hi ishto. Sheyadua asher nishmas kolecha be'echa Yisrael, the neshama of every Jew, Huchelek Elokim imal, is something godly from above, Gavoa mimadregas hamalachim, even higher than the level of angels. Now this does not mean, as some have a common misconception, Chelek Elokim imal does not mean that the neshama is a part of God, because that's against the yesodos of our emunah. Hashem has no parts, we can't break off a piece of Hashem and make a neshama. That's not that thought is not consistent with the Yesodus of our emunah.
I thought we said that Hashem's
it is not a spark of Hashem either. That is not possible because of Hashem Echad. The Neshama is a Nivra, it's a created being, and Hashem is not a Nivra. Hashem is the Bore, always was, always will be. There was a time when there was no such thing as a Neshama. It was a created thing. It's the ruchniyastik anivra, the goof is the gashmiyastik anivra. So we say that Elokis, I'm using the word godly.
Right.
Just to differentiate, it's not Hashem. Our neshama is not a piece of God. Datak avodah zorah, say that. The neshama is a creation of Hashem which is so lofty that we call it Eloki. It's godly, but it's not Hashem. It's like when we say Ish Eloki, certain people who are zocha to that title. We don't say he's part of God. He's a godly person. He's close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what Chelok Elokam Imal means. That it's godly, it's a creation of Hashem, it's lofty, but it's not a HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's to clear up a common misconception that a lot of people have. And if you see it translated like that, it's just talking, it's not emes. It's not a correct translation that the neshama is part of God. I said, really, on the face of it, although people don't mean it that way, it's really Avodah Zarah to say that. Because it's breaking Hashem into different different kofot.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't mind.
Please.
But because Hashem created the neshama, mm-hmm. I guess like somebody that bakes challah, the tom of the person's hands is on the challah. So the tom of the creation of the neshama, there's a, I just, I don't know how to put
so
it.
So to speak.
There's a tom, that's what I'm saying,
so to speak.
I'm not even questioning
so to speak.
A chelek, you know, right. I'm not talking about that.
Right. So to speak, that there is certainly an impression of the Borei on the Nivra, not only on the neshama, but other Nivroim too. But the neshama is such a lofty spiritual creation that we should say even more so. But also it's kiviyachol. Because Hashem is always Hashem, never changed, nothing's different. Atu Ashlo Nivralam, Atu Misha Nivralam.
Separate
creation.
Formed the body of the Bara and neshama.
Yeah, and it's still a Bria. It's a Nivra. It's not God. Yeah. But again, that's all.
It's by
no. That's anthropomorphic language. Hashem doesn't have breath, right? It's describing the pa'ula of the creation of the neshama. The way the Baal HaTanya describes it in the Sefer HaTanya is that a person's breath is coming from the innermost human being. That's our hevel. So that phrase in the Torah is teaching us that the neshama is coming from the innermost ratzon of Hashem in creation, so to speak, his breath. And that's the real goal of creation, is the panemius. And that's what this pasuk is trying to convey, v'yipach ba'af on Mishmas Chaim. Question or comment? I would agree with all that. We just can't make the next step and say that it is Elohim. That's all I'm saying.
Right.
Right. I'm just clarifying.
Right.
Zelot Elohim does not mean it's Hashem. Right. 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 You didn't say that. No, I'm just restating it because it's such a delicate point. Means a part of something which is godly.
What's that?
That's the neshama. The neshama is the chelek elokam imal. I'm saying it's not a part of God, it's a part of godliness. Something very lofty in creation.
So like neshamas Yisrael.
Yeah. Yeah, and each neshama has this quality to it, of being a chelek elokam imal. So we're davening, he says now, on a more pratheistic level for the Golus HaNeshama, that our Neshama is in Golus too. Our Neshama is in exile. When each person reflects upon where do we come from? Where do we come from? Mamish Rama the Bira Amikta, and he will grasp the descent of his soul from the highest peak to the lowest valley. That means to say, when we reflect on where our neshama came from, tachas kisei hakavod, underneath the throne of Hashem's honor, and it was in such a high place in Shemayim, and it came all the way down here to be here, it's considered that the neshama is in galus, here in this world. This is a little bit different than the galus hashchina. That's talking, that concept means we're davening for the tsar of the shchina. Here we're davening for the fact that our soul was sent down into this world and it's in exile. The Shema is very uncomfortable with Olam HaZeh. We'll see why he's here. Labira Mikta, he chomer haguf. What is this deep valley that the Shema was sent into? The body. It was up there by Hashem's Kisei HaKavod, higher than the Malachim. Now it's in a goof, in a physical body. Think about the descent. The neshama is an awesome thought. Uba olam hazeh hashafo, in this lowly physical world. Ulam, however, and of course this is the key, hayirida hitzara chalia, that this descent of the neshama was only to ultimately give it an even higher place than where it started from. Isn't it interesting that when we say yirida tzara chalia, that common phrase, that a person has to go down in order to go up, that it's even a fundamental thing in the Bria. It's referring to the Neshama, which has to come down into this world in order to earn a more higher state. And all the little chapters that we have of that concept in our own personal life, we're going down, but eventually it's for the sake of rising. Kedei lezakei chomer haguf, and the Neshama ultimately will purify the physicality of the body. Lahafoch hachomer letzura, and to transform the physical chomer of the body into a higher, refined form. B'chinas ishapcha chashucha l'nehura u'merira l'mitka. The concept of transforming darkness into light, and that which is bitter into something sweet. B'zeh tis'ala nishmaso b'ilui gadol ki yadua misforim kedoshim. And when the neshama does that, when the neshama gives over that kedusha to the body and is mezakech the body, that raises the neshama itself. It becomes greater now. That's right out of Derech Hashem. The Ramchal says that the neshama becomes greater when it makes the goof greater because it has given goodness to another. So by the neshama benefiting the body in that way and helping the body, it raises itself. Just one sec. The kasher yisbonin ha'odem, no, I can take that now. Go ahead, Nisa. It's the former. It was created in a perfected state, but not as perfect as it could be. And what it's lacking, yes, because the word perfect, the emes, only applies to one being, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Whatever that word is used for somebody else, it doesn't really mean that. It's a relative perfection. Also, from the Ramchal, Shleimus Be'erech. It's a relative perfection. But let me answer your question more directly. The neshama was in a very high place, but it was in that place without having earned it. So therefore it's chaser, it's lacking. And what the neshama gains by being here is earning its shlemus, and that's an elevation for the soul and for the group as well. It is.
I think of terms like pure and perfected as relatively absolute.
Right.
Right. I mean, it is. It is very pure.
But it can go higher.
It can go higher. That's okay. Right. That's
fine. I was confused about that.
And its chesaron is that it didn't have bechira. And now through bechira and choice and earning, kinyan hashleimus, now the neshama became the higher being. Before that, it's more similar to a malach, whose shleimus is built in and not earned. After this world, it's earned. Please. No, go ahead.
Go ahead. Well, we say, well, colorized the book, the whole world is filled with this glory.
Right.
I guess when we use the word glory now, we're not speaking about some part of Hashem, since Hashem has no parts. So, if the whole world is filled with his glory, what is that? My understanding is there is nothing in creation that is, it's all distinct, it's all separate from Hashem, and yet Hashem is in everything.
That's right. And
that's a paradox
which is incomprehensible.
Right.
And it's on that nakuda that a number of other religions strayed from Yiddishkeit. Because of the inability to accept that God is everywhere, yet this is not God.
Right.
So I'm either going to say, meaning another religion, this is God, pantheism, nature is God, either going to say
God is all.
Or somehow I'm going to divorce Hashem, you know, the other extreme from
accept
creation completely. Right. It has nothing to do with us.
Everything's impure.
That's right. So that paradox, which we cannot comprehend, is absolutely what we believe in. Like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere, yet this is not HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Including ourselves.
Right.
There is nothing.
He's here. He's with us. He's not us.
God within us. Well, but there is something of God within us, and yet God is not within us.
Not us.
Because it can't be contained in anything physical.
That's right.
Or even anything not physical.
Right. Right, and that is incomprehensible. That's lamala meha sagar. It's above human comprehension, above anybody's comprehension to grasp that. Just before I get to some other, I get to some other questions. Just 1 minute, because I want to just go a little bit ahead, then I'll get to your question. The kasher yisbonin ha'adam b'masav ha'guruin, kasher yada inish b'nafsha. When a person contemplates some of their deeds, which I'll put it in my words, are not so hot. Right. As the person, that's not the Pelioites' lesson. Guru means like spoiled and rotten. You know, it means pretty low, pretty bad. If a person understands, you know, their lowly deeds, as each person knows in himself what they've done and their deficiencies, asher lo dai shelo tisala al yado, that not only perhaps will they not help the neshama get any higher. Maybe we're even making our neshama lower. Serious Musar thought to think about. Right?
So that can occur as well.
Yeah.
Which can actually.
Yeah. Although not in the long run. In the long run, that's not going to occur. Hashem will find a way that the neshama will be elevated. But in the short term, we have the ability to lessen, diminish our neshama by doing our veiros here in this world. L'tachlis ha'shifus. So if we think about that each time I act k'neged ratzon Hashem, the neshama is here to go higher, and now I'm doing just the opposite. By thinking that, this is a beautiful a method, which really comes also from the Bala Tanya. Al yedei zeh ya'orer rachamim rabim al nishmasa. By thinking this, a person can awaken great compassion on their own soul. And this is why I think this thought is so beautiful. What one would have gone to with that idea that, you know, my neshama is here to be elevated, I'm lowering it, I'm no good. Go right into guilt. Right? It's not where he's headed at all. He said, no, think about that for a moment, and then have rachmanis on your neshama. Treat your neshama nicely.
It has to live with you.
Yeah, it's your isha, your companion, your spouse. Ye'orer rachamim rabim al nishmaso nitzutz hakadosh shebekirba. Kamo shekasu avinu av harachaman rachem aleinu. We say, Hashem, our compassionate Father, have rachamim on us.
So we are looking at our neshama as something that we can have rachamim on, have compassion on our own soul, which was sent into this world, have rachmanis on it for that. Not only that, maybe we've done some things to it that are not so great, have rachamim on that. That's a positive way to look at this, which lifts a person up instead of taking a person down. Instead of guilt, it's being ma'orer, a positive quality of rachamim rabi, which means a lot of rachamim on one's neshama. Yisarusa dileila, I'm sorry, ubi yisarusa dilatata, and when one awakens rachamim themselves below, ya'orer yisarusa dileila, they will awaken Hashem's rachamim. If we practice that trait of rachamim on our own neshama, that awakens Hashem's rachamim. Rachamim rabi milamala, from above, the yumtak, the iskala hafesed, hagunus vigivia, and then the situation will become sweetened, refined, and the chesed which is concealed there within the person is revealed. V'zehu ve'ele toldos Yitzchak ben Avraham. Now the first pasuk in our parasha, these are the generations of Yitzchak ben Avraham. What's the remez there? Yitzchak is miras hadin, right? Shehadin asher merumas bibechinas Yitzchak yihiya nimtak bechesed bechinas Avraham. Din, judgment, which is Yitzchak Avinu, has to be sweetened and softened by Avraham. Yitzchak has to be ben Avraham. Yitzchak din has to be softened by chesed. So when we have that thought of din on ourselves, what have I done? What's going to happen? Bima ora rachamim rabim, and sweeten it with chesed. That's the way to take oneself up. Otherwise, we can just go down further. Yitzchak ben Avraham. Al yidei asher vayetar Yitzchak lenofach ishto. Now he's learning that pasuk. Yitzchak daven for the sake of his wife. That means nishmasa, for the sake of his neshama. Al yidei sheyaore rachamim rabim al nishmasa. By awakening great compassion on oneself, by a person having self-compassion, yisore rachamim milamala, that will cause an awakening of rachamim from above. Lihios nimtak hadinim b'shorashem, and then the deen, the judgment, will be sweetened in its source. Rick, you had a question before?
I'm still trying to get the idea of relative compassion down. Okay. And this is how I'm learning it. How many times I'm on the right track. At each level we're given a perfect neshama. But our goal is to raise our level. And the neshama that was perfect at that level, at a lower level, can raise itself. And it's perfect at a higher level, that it's enhanced.
Yeah, the word perfect, it loses its meaning in English, and we really have to use another word, because perfect is only Hashem. The word shalem is much better, because shalem implies completeness and wholeness, and that's really what we're talking about. The only time we can use the word shalem is perfect is agave Hashem. That's the only perfect thing. A person can become whole and become more whole and become more complete. That process can occur as they go through life.
The analogy of this looks like a child. He may be as perfect as a 5-year-old, but I certainly hope that same perfection will the perfect that you see in a 7-year-old is for someone.
Right. That's a nice idea. I'm sorry, Hilly had a question.
I have a question and just some observations on this. This would be Yasser. Is this the first time this is used?
In the Torah? I think so.
I think so.
Yeah, to my knowledge, yeah.
So my thought about it is we see that in last week's parsha, we see the Yetzer, the Soda, the Vintra, the Yetzer, the Yetzer, the Soda, the Yetzer, that's one, think of as one aspect that could be like the established income. And I think this is the first time in the Torah where we have certainly one person praying directly on behalf of another person, like an individual. And certainly it's the first time where a man prays on behalf of another person.
Well, we had Abraham being with Paula for Avimelech, that we saw before. And what's interesting about that is that right after that Sora was answered, and that's where they learned that if you daven to somebody else for what you need, then you're answered.
So that's the foundation of that.
Yeah.
But this is for, I'm pretty sure the first time that a husband prays on behalf of a wife, or a man prays on behalf of a
wife. It seems like it, just in my mind, just not definitely sure. I think so. Yeah. Did you have another one?
No, I just wanted to have part of believing the Abraham.
Oh yeah, this is what, where it's stated. It's stated here. We don't see it stated before. I would certainly think that it happened earlier as well.
No, but we don't see it.
No, we don't see it. This is the first time it's in the Pasuk.
This is the difference, so to speak, between the relationships
between
Abraham and Sarah.
Right.
If I'm able to pray for myself,
We really are both. We really are the neshama and the guf. And the amazing thing is that we're able to have, you know, almost an objective relationship, you know, about our neshama when we think about it as far as it descending from Kisei HaKavod all the way down here, and almost think about it as another, because we can't really relate to that experience. What does that mean to be up there and come down here? It's almost talking about another being. But the truth is, we're talking about ourselves. And the neshama is us. That is our true identity. And the bamis is, the goof is too. And every time we infuse the goof with a little more kedusha, you know, we are building the goof that we're going to live with at the time of TSMA. Yeah, it really is fun. And that's the from all the Mekubalim who all say that Olam Haba Be'emes is Tchias HaMeisim. That's the real Olam Haba, when the Neshama and the Guf come back together, because they earned their Dveikus together, and therefore their Nana Mishlei Musa together. Yeah? The Mahusa, meaning in God's essence, God is always the same,
right.
Never changes, never is more, never is less, always the same. So we don't affect Hashem in that way.
And the Shekhinah is part of Hashem.
Also not. The Shekhinah is, and this is a difficult thing to grasp too, it's the revealed presence of Hashem in this world. But that's not really Hashem. God is
alive. It's an interface.
Right. It's really more so, if I put it in better terms, it's the way Hashem relates to the world. It's similar to the concept of the Shem Hashem, is the way God relates to the world. That we can change through tefillah, through the mitzvahs. That we can affect.
And that's what I understand. How we're affected.
He gave us that right. He gave us that right. He gave us that koah to affect whether he'll shine, Torah's upon him, or whether he will conceal Hester Punim. He gave that koach to us. Now, it's not absolute, because at any moment, Hashem can say, I'm going to do something as I please, no matter what we choose. That's a gezeirah milamala, that happens a lot. But he gave us a certain amount of koach through our bechira to affect things in the world, both above and below. It's not changing God, the etzem, but it is affecting the way God relates to the world.
Yeah.
levels, not numerically, but whatever levels, I'd like to send the team have a greater related chance of it.
Yeah, yeah. Tzaddikim have a greater koa to bring more Ha'orah Panim into the world, to conquer Ra with more impact. A person who, you know, lifts himself in that Madrega, Tzaddik goes to our Kodesh Baruch Hu B'chaim, right? Tzaddik decrees Hashem fulfilled. And also to remember that Vameh Kulam Tzaddikim.
Tzaddikim are messed up.
Vameh Kulam Tzaddikim. If we could look at the world in that way, you know, really down the cards to food, I think that would do a lot of benefit. And not in Paschus doesn't mean that we don't recognize, you know, any Chisrona. It's just our perspective on the Chisrona. It's not naivete, but there's some good here. And the things that aren't so good, there's a reason for it. Not that we can always know what that reason is.
So,
yeah, I'll go Mark, Josh, Aaron, Rish, and then Nissan, then we got to stop for a minute. Go ahead, Mark.
What does this word
mean? Which one? Where are you?
Chaf Beis Bottom of this column. Kolanza. Zet Yisrael Neshmasa Ilui Gadol.
Ilui means an elevation.
Okay, it's different from the Aliyah.
It's pretty similar.
It's not like an Ilui.
It's the same Sharish.
I mean, Ilui like, speak of Gadol, Gadol and Ilui.
Yes, it's the same word.
Same word.
Yeah, Eloi, which means genius. We're talking about a person who has an elevated intelligence. Yeah, that's the same word.
I'm just wondering why he chose that instead of the Aliyah Gadol.
I don't know. Josh?
It seems that what we're saying, learning out the Yitzhak Avinu, Davin, rock for the sake of the neshama, bring a rock of me from the neshama below, and rock from above, and the shepherd would cause drifted to their children. It seemed like maybe there was some self-interest in some Saddam involved with that because she got a yacht over there.
It doesn't seem to be related to Yitzchak's tefillah that she got in Esav. It seems to be related to Lavan and Mesua, and that connection to the family that she had before. From the portion, Pliyakar says something very much like that.
Later on, the Parsha, some attempt at a Keshe.
With Asa, right? Andre, April?
Yeah, the whole concept of Elokai Mimal.
Yeah.
And then I've heard it said Elokai Mimal Mamish. I've heard that.
It's still, that's used a lot in the Sefer HaTanya.
Right.
It says that a couple of times. But it's not what it means.
So what's the Mamish make any?
It just,
more?
You know, just driving the point home. It, even if you see the word mamish following that phrase, it still does not mean a portion of God. But these are learned in the Hakdamas from Rav Chaim Vital and other Sifrei Mahashava as to how to understand this language and not to misunderstand it, even though on its surface it appears to be saying something else. That's not what it means.
And the other thing is Ilui,
right?
You go up on.
It's okay.
Yes, sir. I'm just trying to reconcile this concept of how the rock among oneself. So you've done something that isn't so good, not so hot. And it seems like there's a fine line between cutting yourself great as opposed to, you know, on Yom Kippur, it says that unless you're truly brokenhearted about what you've done to damage your soul, then there's really no hope for Yeshua. So obviously it's not black and white, and there are probably those times where the if you're getting down on yourself too heavily, you need to cut yourself a break just to be able to begin to elevate again. But it's a slippery slope. Because I know in times past, without having had the framework within which to approach this subject, I've given myself a break so often that I've really allowed myself to degenerate even further in my actions. It's like, I'll just give myself a break this time. I'll just give myself a break. One more.
And it keeps going and going.
What's one more Malamar? You know, I've already had 100, you know, or whatever, fill in the blank.
Right.
So,
That's the balance on the other side that one has to be careful of.
You can't go all the way one
right.
side.
Right,
right.
There's a real sheikhul, but there's a delicate point here. When you mention about a broken heart, right, that the Taras HaKodesh from Rav Aaron Roth, he writes that in the heart, there's an atzfus de kedusha and an atzfus de tumah. There's a sadness which is holy and a sadness which is not pure. And they're very close to each other in the heart. That's his lashon. And most often where people in our time get messed up is that we are attracted to that atzfus de tumah because it's self-centered. And we are attracted to that. So feeling sorry for ourselves.
Because it's more gashmis.
It's more about the great me, which has fallen. Right, it's an ego thing.
Got it. Okay.
Whereas atzfus de kedusha is the person really being able to lift themselves up. And it's a feeling of sadness that's ultimately uplifting, as opposed to a feeling of sadness that sends one down into the abyss.
It's a sadness based on a distance from Hashem rather than a distance from one's higher self.
That's right. That's
well,
right.
Not greater self.
That's right. And atzvus de kedusha ultimately will take somebody upward. Rabbi Tversky Zichron Livracha used to say, if you want to find out what kind of sadness you're experiencing, see where it takes you.
Hmm.
Does it take you closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or does it take you down?
If
it takes you down, you can guarantee it's coming from the wrong side.
That's from the rock.
That's right.
What about
you're on your 100th
biochemically related?
That's more like in the